You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Is it reasonable to believe in God? Can God be infinite, personal, and moral? What are the implications of people being made in the image of God? And is it intellectually honest to believe that the Bible is God's revelation to humanity? Do people have an ability to make real choices, or are we simply products of our DNA in combination with our environment? Does a belief in the historical Jesus who died and was physically resurrected pass the test of common sense? Should we expect the eventual return of Jesus and life after death? These questions probe the core of the historic Christian faith. And they're real questions for real people living in a very real world. They're questions that make a difference. And they're the basic questions explored in Christianity on Trial by Mark Lanier. These challenging questions have occupied many of humanity's best minds, well, for centuries. Debating the existence of God or what kind of God he or she is not new, nor is asking whether the Bible is God's word. Through the centuries, great minds have sought to discover truth and determine what makes right right and what makes wrong wrong. Can we learn anything by putting these issues on trial? The answer is absolutely yes, and there's a reason for that. The scientist's lab, the magician's or maybe I should say mathematician's calculation is the best place to derive truth. I mean, you can make numbers say whatever you want them to say. But that's maybe true and it's false. Hard sciences and mathematics do tell us provable facts like 2 plus 2 equals 4, but we must distinguish between what is provable in the lab and what is not. Laboratories are marvelous places to answer questions of chemistry, physics, and biology. But can you answer who ran the red light? With a test tube? With a calculator? Absolutely not. Not even when we're confident that someone did in fact run a red light. The answer is best found from an investigation of evidence, eyewitness accounts, examining the scene, evaluating the skid marks, and all these kinds of things. The judge and the jury, upon presentation of the evidence, then draw a conclusion based on common sense, logic, and life experiences. And all of that is simply to say why I think that it is a really cool thing to have a lawyer examine or put Christianity on trial. And even more than that, this book is not just written by a lawyer. Mark Lanier is a trial lawyer. And U.S. News and World Report's Best Lawyers named him to its Best Lawyers in America's list for 9 consecutive years. So this is not just a lawyer. This is a very accomplished trial lawyer. And his book is eminently readable. It's fun to read. But in the process, you will be equipped. And that's the whole point. We want you to be equipped so that you can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ in an epoch that sorely needs ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Most of us, unfortunately, have become secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. The book, Christianity on Trial, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy for your gift online at equip.org, or when you write me,
at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are also standing by for your order and your gift. Again, 888-7000 CRI is that number. But to get your questions answered today, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. And a lot of you are already hanging on, so we'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Ryan in Seneca, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. The question I have today is, I'm actually a Southern Baptist pastor, and I've got a church member who has approached me. He's done a lot of research, a lot of reading of the church fathers, and he seems convinced that he needs to return to the Catholic Church. I say return. He's never been a Catholic before. But he believes that church history for 1,500 years can't be ignored, and so he has begun attending Mass, and I'm going to be meeting with him in the next day or so and just trying to get my head around, you know, how I can guide him and give good advice to him and in light of the authority of Scripture and just the historic Christian faith that you've been talking about earlier today. So just any advice you have?
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, I don't think returning to the faith means returning to the fathers as much as it means returning to Jesus Christ. I mean, we sometimes have this airbrushed view of what the early Christian church was like, but if you read Paul's accounts, particularly in Corinthians, we find out that there was a lot of immorality in the church. Ananias and Sapphira, for example, were liars and cheaters. So we idealize the first century church and the early fathers, and I think sometimes that's a mistake. But even beyond that, I think that's instructive to note that what Roman Catholicism embraces today is not just the dogmas of the early church fathers. What they embrace are dogmas that are very, very new. For example, the Immaculate Conception, which, by the way, asserts that from the first moment of her conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary was, by the singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of mankind, kept free from all stain of original sin. Well, that's an idea that was deified and defined only in 1854, that by Pope Pius IX. So the bottom line there is that the dogma is only a little over a century old. And right up to the very time of the definition of this dogma, its orthodoxy has been contested. This is not the faith of the fathers. This is a brand new faith that has been codified less than a century ago. Or the idea of papal infallibility, that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra from the throne or officially on matters of faith and morals, he teaches infallibly, thus the whole church is bound by his teaching. That doctrine was defined by the First Vatican Council in 1870. That's 16 years after the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. So it's also an innovation, very, very new. So when people say this is going back to historic Christianity, they have to understand that a lot of the beliefs of Roman Catholicism are relatively new and modern.
Okay. Okay. As a pastor, a Southern Baptist pastor, you know, The vast majority of my teaching and wisdom that I try to impart is from Scripture. So in talking to someone who seems to be equating church history to the authority of Scripture, where would you begin to give guidance in that area?
Well, first of all, I hold a great reverence for the early Christian church, even though the early Christian church is not what I want to go back to. What I want to go back to is Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate issue. We can laud the fathers and be grateful for great fathers like Athanasius, who so fantastically defended the historic Christian faith, particularly when it comes to the nature of God. We can thank God for those stalwarts of the Christian faith. We can laud them, we can admire them, but ultimately we still have to test what they teach in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. So all human opinions have to be tested in light of the final court of arbitration, and that is the Word of God. So while we can have a respect for Christian history, and indeed we should, we must always make that secondary to the infallible repository for faith and practice, which is the Word of God.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you very much.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for your call. Appreciate your call very much. Hannah, next in Briscoe, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Hannah.
Well, hello, Dr. Handegraff. I'm a little bit excited, and I heard all of your information before, and I appreciate that. And I certainly am. I got my eye on that North Star, I tell you for sure. Mm. And all I want to do is to work for the Lord. My question is this. I have all of your information on Islam. All the different things, I won't name them off, and I have all your Christian, your answer books, you know, your Christian, your, I'm a little bit excited, you can understand.
Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm excited
anyway,
to have you on
I'm
air.
I'm going to be 89 years old, and I'll tell you, I've
you're what? You're 89?
Now, but I still know enough to know that I love the Lord.
Hannah,
anyway,
did you say you're 89?
I have all of your information, and I ordered two more magazines today that I didn't happen to have the articles that happened to be in those two magazines.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've got all my material to work with. And I've got permission from the Institute that I can use any of it I want to, and that, you know, that's perfectly all right if I want to put it in a paper. You know, they're behind me on everything. And I've done this before. This is not the first time. I've had missions before and have been quite successful with it, a couple of them. But right now, the Muslims are trying to take over the state of Oklahoma, and we have one representative that they're just about to beat him to death. Because he is just standing up there and putting an article in the paper every day. But they're wanting to get their SARH, you know, their laws passed so that all they have to follow is their law and not the Constitution of the United States, which people here don't want. And there's just about, you know, it's really bad. It's just getting to be bad because the people are really upset. Now, there are a lot of head politicians that are agreeing with these Muslims. They've got mosques all over the state of Oklahoma, and they're building larger ones every day and more. And now, my question is for me. This is for me. I am on a mission to help with this. And what I want to know is exactly where can I start with the information that I have, which is from the institution, and I have it all, and I've studied it all. Should I start with the very first pages of teaching the people or letting them learn this information of what they believe? You know, what are Muslims? What do they stand for? And this sort of thing. Then where do I go from there?
Sure. You know, what I think is most important, Hannah, is to make people so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, that they know it instantaneously. Satan packages and repackages the lie over and over again, and there's no telling how many permutations of that lie are already extant and will be made up in the future. It continuously morphs. So the real issue is becoming absolutely critically involved with the truth of the historic Christian faith. The secret of cultural power is found in the practice of Christian truth. When followers of Jesus Christ live out the gospel in the world, we become an incarnation of the truth of the gospel. We become an expression of the character and shape of that truth. And in this living in truth, we become culturally powerful, which means that when the church lives truly in the world but is not of the world, it taps into the secret of its culture-shaping power. And what changes the world then is not a fully developed Christian worldview, but a worldview actually lived out in Christian lives that are the Word made flesh again. Now, this is all
something that we're going to be talking about next month a lot as we talk about Oz Guinness and a new book that he came out with. But what's important to recognize here, once again, is that as we live out the truth or the reality of the Christian faith, as I'm most certainly sure you do, Hannah, we expose error. And we recognize that the power is with the gospel. One with the Spirit of God is a majority. So I don't think we have to fear Islam. Ultimately, Islam must fear the Christian faith as it is lived out authentically by Christians just like you. Gonna have to leave it at that. We are coming up to a station break. By the way, I love that call. The passion, it gives me a great hope for the future. Now, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more.
If you were asked what Augustine and Anselm, Heraclitus and Descartes, or Josephus and Tacitus had in common, you'd be excused for drawing a blank. But what they have in common is that they are all witnesses called to the stand by one of America's best trial lawyers to test the truth of Christianity. Armed with incisive analytical skills and the well-honed ability to quickly spot weaknesses in arguments, attorney and Bible scholar Mark Lanier takes on the tough questions that Christians need to be able to handle today. With clear and penetrating insights, Lanier cross-examines historical figures from Charles Darwin to Friedrich Nietzsche and from Adolf Hitler to B.F. Skinner. You won't want to miss the verdict in this new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just across our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Like it or not, your faith is increasingly on trial. With that in mind, could you persuade a skeptical jury that your beliefs are anything more than wishful thinking? In Christianity on Trial, renowned trial lawyer Mark Lanier summons a host of witnesses from across the centuries to provide compelling evidence for the Christian faith. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. We'll go right back to your phone calls. Next up is James. He's listening in Chicago, Illinois on Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you.
It's an honor to talk to you. I listen to you every day, and I'm going to give you some money because I think you're doing a good work, you know. I just want to ask you that one question. You had a commercial about Joel Osteen. I don't go to his church. I live in Chicago. But with all the knowledge and the power you have and all the people he's, like, trying to lead in the wrong way, have you ever, like, tried to reach out to him and like, point him in the right direction? Because it's true. It seems to me like he's never had any theology teaching. And you're so smart and knowledgeable. And, like, it's millions, like you say, it's millions of people going that way. Like, it seemed like if you were to reach out to him and give him some direction, I'm just asking, it's just been bothering me for like the last year or so to ask you this question. If you were to reach out and give him some direction, and maybe he could lead all these people that's going the wrong way, because everybody don't get a chance to listen to your show, you know, like on the radio or nothing like that. And, you know, like I listen to it because I'm a driver and I tune in every day, you know, but it's just a question. This is a question for me.
Well, and it's a good question, James, and I'm glad you asked it. And over the years, I've reached out to many of the Word of Faith teachers, and after a while, you sort of become a little jaundiced about doing so, although that doesn't mean that I wouldn't do so if God opened the door for that. But the thing that I have discovered over the years of doing this is that it bears very little fruit. Which is to say, by way of example, I spent a lot of time over many years with Benny Hinn personally, talking about many of the things that he was teaching that are similar to what Joel Osteen is teaching today. And after a while, I realized that it was a fruitless effort. And part of the reason is, and this is just a practical observation, is that he has his entire ministry vested in those aberrations. So while some can turn from it, and some have, it's a very unlikely occurrence. Now, I'll give you an example where it has happened. Joseph de Koch, the leader of the Worldwide Church of God after Armstrong passed away, he was listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and he eventually wanted to meet with myself and with our staff, and did so, and over time began carefully examining some of the dogmas that he had been teaching, which militate against the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And when he came to faith in Christ himself and gave up all of the false teachings, he now wanted the help of the Christian Research Institute so that he could, in fact, reach those who were galvanized within their own movement in those false teachings themselves. So he wanted to reach people inside the Worldwide Church of God. So the leadership became transformed, and now they wanted to transform their constituency as well. And we had an opportunity to be involved in that process. In fact, I wrote the foreword to Joseph de Koch's book, Transformed by Truth. So sometimes these leaders do have a change of heart, but
I have seldom seen that happen within the Word of Faith movement. And you can imagine, right, just from a pragmatic standpoint, James, I mean, he's got six bestsellers out, and on virtually every single page, he is misinterpreting Scripture. And sometimes it's very, very obvious. I mean, it has to be obvious to him, I would think, when he says, for example, that Romans 4:17 says that we are to call those things that are not as though they were, when if you go to the passage, it says precisely the opposite. It is God who calls those things that are not as though they were. So he twists the passage and uses Scripture as though it's a wax nose. He uses it to teach what might well be defined as New Thought metaphysics carefully papered over with Christian terminology. So here's the other part of it, James. When people are dispensing spiritual cyanide on the public airwaves, they should be publicly rebuked. Because if you don't do that, what happens is there's all kinds of people who fall for these teachings, and the fall is oftentimes fatal. It can be fatal spiritually. It can even be fatal physically.
That's why I think that people should, you know, actually get study the Word for themselves. Because I know, like, you just got to know for yourself. I know I got caught up in the church before, and I got to following the pastor, and then he fell off because he was messing around with somebody. He was married and had kids, and that taught me that, man, you just can't, you got to get into Jesus. You can't, you got to get into that Word for yourself. You can't get every answer from a man. You know, not if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you through them pages. People think it's hard, but it's not, you know. And once you get the Holy Spirit in you and you're saved, you know, and if the Holy Spirit really guides you and then he shows you the way, you know. I like you because I'm talking about you're real knowledgeable. I've seen you on TV a couple of times. I've been following you for a while. And, you know, sometimes I don't agree with everything you say either, but I don't agree with everything everybody say. We know, as long as we can agree to disagree with some things, but you... most of the time, you're right on point, you know, and I got to praise you for that, and I'm praying for you, and just keep up the good work, and, you know, and just we just pray for pastors that don't have it going on the right way, and maybe they could turn and repent, and if you can't reach them, just pray for them.
I love your heart, I love your advice, and I'm so glad you called me today, James.
Don't worry about it, Hank, and I support you, because you are leading people in the right way, and I follow the pastor off the cliff almost, and it wasn't for my wife, you know. She told me it was wrong. You know, women got that women intuition, and she's a good Christian woman, and she had told me about the things that she thought. She just felt it in her spirit that he wasn't right, and he wasn't. So, you know, then I learned then to get deep in them scriptures for myself, you know, and you help out a lot with that. So I thank you, Hank, and I'm going to give to your ministry, and just keep up the good work and stay strong, buddy.
Bless you, James. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, on the subject, I did write a book called The Austenification of American Christianity, and it was as a result of really reading his bestsellers and being absolutely amazed at the scripture twisting. Not even the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons show such utter disregard for the meaning of scripture. They at least grapple with the passage and the meaning of a passage. He doesn't as much as consider the context. And as a result, austenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. And the impact of it, particularly in the Global South, where Christianity has grown very, very rapidly. When I say the Global South, I'm talking about not the South of America, but I'm talking about Latin America, talking about Pacific Rim nations, Asia, talking about Sub-Saharan Africa and the like, where Christianity is really growing. But this distortion is also being felt in regions like that. And what we have really is the commodification of the divine, the reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. It's the transformation through recital of mantras rather than the renewal of minds. And of course, there are a host of pretenders that follow Joel Osteen, but he is the biggest of the bunch. I mean, I think of Derek Prince out of Singapore, another false teacher, but he's smaller, even though he's very large, a lot smaller than Joel Osteen, who has a billion impressions on Facebook and Twitter combined per month, according to his own statistics.
So when you have the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the master, not for the love of the master, but because of what's on the master's table, then someone ought to stand up and say something. The glory of the cross is being transposed to the glory of consumerism, of fast food Christianity, long on looks, dreadfully short on substance. So what we have is the triumph of technique over theology, style over substance, the preeminence of psychobabble over precept and principle. In short, as I point out in my book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. The book is available. In fact, you can get six at a time in six packs, so you can give them away to friends. So many people are falling for the distortions. Also, you can get the book on audio download on the web at equip.org or in CD version. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin. Vancouver, British Columbia, listening on KARI. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank.
You live in a beautiful place.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just have a question in Isaiah 53, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, I'm reading the NIV, and it states, "He will see his offspring and prolong his days." Now, I was just wondering, is the "he" referring to God the Father, or Jesus, a suffering servant?
No, it's referring to Jesus, a suffering servant. In the context, God the Father cleansed him. God the Son is being cleansed of his wound because his body would not remain subject to corruption and death. The offering, therefore, made by Christ enables man to receive the same healing and eternal life. So God the Father cleanses the Son, and because of that offering made by Christ, humankind can then receive the same healing and eternal life as a result of the offering of the suffering servant.
Okay, and I was just wondering then, if it's the suffering servant, it says he will see his offspring. I was wondering what the offspring refers to.
Yeah, the offspring here again. So you have the sequence of God the Father cleansing God the Son of a wound, and that then makes an offering by Christ which enables humankind the same kind of healing and eternal life. So that's the sequence that we have. God the Father, God the Son, and vicariously, those of us who through the wounds of Christ are healed, and we become his offspring. We become those who are sons and daughters of the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just have a few days left, and I'm going to be in Kansas City. Looking forward to that. An evening with those in Kansas City. So many have signed up already. You can still sign up at equip.org/events or call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. Either way, you have to register to attend the event. I'll be answering questions. I'll be bringing a message, a lot more going on. We'll be talking a little bit about our new Going Global initiative, which is making a difference all over the world. So all of that coming up on the 25th in Kansas City. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
If your beliefs were put on trial by a jury of aggressive atheists, would the evidence of your faith be sufficient to acquit you? I hope so. But the sad truth is that many Christians today would simply wither under the prosecutorial fire of well-educated secularists. That's why you'd do well to read Christianity on Trial, a timely book by one of America's leading trial lawyers. Also a Bible scholar, attorney Mark Lanier summons to the witness stand leading historical figures to render a verdict on Christianity. From a cross-examination of Augustine and Descartes to Darwin and Nietzsche, you'll learn whether Christianity has the evidence to stand up in court. You won't want to miss Mark Lanier's new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Would you be ready to take a stand if your faith were on trial? Would you know which evidence would be admissible in a court of law? To say yes to these questions, you need more than mere faith. You need the answers that one of America's leading trial attorneys can provide. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I want to mention how grateful I am for those who have responded to my indications that we had a very bad August and built up a deficit, and we have been a bit behind and trying to catch up. And people have responded wonderfully. We are still behind, but I'm deeply grateful for the response. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but when we do have deficits, the only place I can turn to are God's people who have some of God's resources and can invest it not by giving to this ministry, but through this ministry, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, this is a ministry entirely dependent on your prayers and your financial support. Deeply appreciated. And as Randy just said, as our way of saying thank you, we'll send you a copy of Christianity on Trial. For those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are available to you. You can pick up the phone and dial 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Get back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Paul. He's listening in New England on Bot Radio. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I got a question, and I was born and raised in South Africa, and it might be a lot to do with that, but I was always wondering, from a Bible perspective, interracial relationships and marriage, is that wrong or not?
Well, you know, I have an interracial marriage. I'm Dutch. I was born in Holland, and my wife is of English origins, and we had no problem whatsoever. I don't think that you have to marry within your own culture. I think it's perfectly acceptable, in fact, biblical, for people simply to be considered people. In Christ, there is no male or female. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no slave or free. In Christ, we are one. So it is not a function of our economic status. It is not a function of our nationality. Ultimately, where we need to be equally yoked is in our relationship to Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Well, thank you, and I hear that. Thanks for my question.
You are welcome. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, like, you know, whenever I see, you know, racial mixing, you know, it gives me an upset feeling, because I always thought it was wrong. I was just born in a country that has a lot of racism in it, even in the churches. And even our churches never seemed right. We were always told it's not right, so that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, the whole idea of that not being right is so unbiblical. I don't even have words to describe it. In fact, you know, there is that very poignant story in the New Testament with Peter receiving a vision of clean and unclean food. And Peter didn't want to go to see Cornelius because he was a Gentile. And God gives this vision to Peter, and when Peter gets done with the vision, he says, "Ah, now I finally get it." God does not show favoritism, but accepts all men who love and serve and fear Him. So the whole notion that somehow or other we should distinguish between people because of their genealogy or their nationality or the amount of pigment they have in their skin or whatever the distinction might be is completely unbiblical. At the foot of the cross, we are just people. And the real issue, again, is if we're going to get married to someone or have a relationship with someone, we don't want to be unequally yoked in that relationship, because then we're pulling the cart in two different directions, which only wrecks the cart. So, there's no problem whatsoever with marrying another person as long as you're not unequally yoked. You want to make sure that you have a commonality in Christ. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Celeste in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, Dr. Hannah Graff. First off, gosh, it's such a pleasure to get to speak to you. Thank you for your service to the ministry and keeping your audience from veering off track into distorted theology. I have a question and a comment, so I'll just jump right in. So I do have long-term goals, but I'm interested in the mission field, and I feel called to that for a season. Don't know how long, but I've been checking into YWAM as an option, and my dad taught me well to always check out statements of faith first before I, you know, go into anything. And I was looking, and right off the top, it seems great, but it's also really vague. And if their discipleship school is going to, you know, say that I'll be doing lessons on spiritual warfare and stuff, I want to know what their beliefs are and what they plan to submerge me in before I, you know, choose to pay and submit under that. So basically, I was wondering what your thoughts are about YWAM and if you could recommend any mission organizations that I may be able to get involved with.
Yeah. First of all, my head is spinning because of the brilliance of what you just said, quite frankly, because what you just said is just very profound. You looked at the statement of faith and you found it orthodox as far as it goes. But it is, as you correctly noted, woefully incomplete. And as a result of that, you have within YWAM, you have a volunteer movement of Christians from all kinds of backgrounds and cultures and traditions and the like. You got a lot of good teachers and people in YWAM, but you also have many controversial and unbiblical teachings that have been associated with YWAM or people within YWAM. People that teach open theism, for example, that God doesn't know the future exhaustively, or moral government theology, which is an unbiblical view of grace, or even what I wrote about in a book called Counterfeit Revival. You have within YWAM strains of counterfeit revivalism with people like C. Peter Wagner, the idea of modern apostles and prophets movement and the like. So you have to be discerning. So I wouldn't necessarily say that YWAM doesn't have any significance or any value in terms of the mission endeavor, but you have to do the kind of critical thinking that you have just demonstrated you are capable of. So you have great discernment skill, because otherwise you can get involved in all kinds of aberrant strains of Christianity that people are being exposed to at a very vulnerable stage of their life. Now, as far as other mission organizations are concerned, we can do a little research for you and give you some really good options. Off the top of my head, I don't want to speak extemporaneously on this account.
Well, thank you so, so very much. I would really appreciate that follow-up on research. Gosh, that really helps. And that was my concern as well, is that I was a little worried about some diluted and off-base theology, which I'm real particular about and always watchful for, because I've seen that destroy families to disgusting degrees. It's awful.
Yes.
So, gosh, thanks so, so much for that. And second, if I could, I would really just like to say, and I promise not to brag on me, this is by no means, but I'm an unemployed, disabled veteran, and I do what I can to give to this ministry, and again, so not to brag, but I just want to challenge all the men and women of God out there who are hearing this to invest in eternity and the saving of souls by giving through this ministry, because I believe that God really honors that. And my bills have always been paid when I've tried to honor the Lord with my money. So I just want to challenge those out there with that.
Celeste, thank you so much. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Wow, what a testimony. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John in Pierre, South Dakota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I just wanted to call. You had a Baptist preacher on at the start of the show.
Yeah.
And had a friend going to Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
And I guess I just wasn't sure about, I know how you answered that. I don't know if it was, I know the what you did say was correct on those views, but as far as the underlying differences between them, I don't know. I think really they're both on the lines of semi-Pelagianism, and I don't really know if there is too much difference between a Baptist and Romanism.
Well, I think you have to be very careful about both the definition of Roman Catholicism and Baptists, because they're not monolithic, they're multifaceted. Baptists are the largest Protestant group in America, but they have members in some 34 major denominational groups. So from their origination in the early 1600s, they've morphed into many, many different groups. For example, the Particular Baptist was a group influenced by Calvinistic ideas of predestination and election. And you have many Puritan Baptists who are very, very committed to those dogmas. So the idea that Baptists are semi-Pelagian would be painting with an overtly broad brush. So I think you have to be very careful about both Roman Catholicism in this regard and the Baptists. They're multifaceted in both groups. It is very interesting that many people, when they think of Catholicism, they think of it as being monolithic. Nothing could be farther from the truth. They are not monolithic. Let's go back to the phone lines. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to go back to the phone lines because I won't have time to take another question, but I'm going to stay here for an hour, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number to dial in the U.S. or Canada to get your question answered for the next hour is 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. So for the next hour, you can call that number, and I will continue taking your calls as soon as this broadcast is ended. Do want to emphasize again Christianity on Trial. It provides a thought-provoking starting point in the search for truth. Mark Lanier presents a persuasive case for the Christian faith and leaves it up to us to choose whether it is worthy of belief or whether it is not. Does the Christian faith really hold up to scrutiny? What does science tell us about the plausibility of a God? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimonies of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And how could divine inspiration of Scripture, Christ's bodily resurrection, be possible? All of that dealt with in Christianity on Trial. This is a fantastic resource. I've been at apologetics for more years than I'd like to talk about, and I seldom get I'm hyperventilating over apologetic books, but this is a really great book. It's eminently readable, very interesting, and it will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Available for your gift, check it out on the web at equip.org. And do remember, I'll stay right here for an extra hour. I will continue taking your calls. We'll start that in just a few moments.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just to cross our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities,
For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.